So over the last couple of years that I've been here, I've been listening to your stories. I've been listening to people in this church say, hey, these are things that I'm struggling with. And I've been listening to people in our church talk about challenges that they're having. And I really try to work hard to make sure that the messages that we share are things that are important to you, can help you grow, are valuable to you. So I want you to hold on to that, and then I want you to hold on to this second piece. We have an incredible team of folks in this church who pray. I don't know if you write on your prayer cards, but if you write on your prayer cards, there's a team of folks that not only reads those prayers, but actually prays for them, that responds to many of you about your prayers, and lifts up every single thing that you ask for. Sometimes you will send messages in through our website, or you'll call Pastor Marcella or myself, and you'll say, hey, here's something I'd like prayer for. And we send that to a team of folks in the church who really pray and believe that God can do something. So we're going to start a series today based on listening to you, based on hearing some of your challenges and concerns. And the series is called Let's Talk About It. It's a series on prayer. So often people will come to me and they'll say something like, Tim, I don't even know how to pray. And not so much like mechanics of it, but they're struggling with the words based on a certain situation. Or people will say, Tim, I don't know why we pray because my life's real hard. Things aren't happening. Things aren't changing. Why do we pray? And some people come to me and they're worried about their own prayer life, that they're not seeing fruit from it, that things aren't happening. They say, maybe I'm not doing it right. Maybe I'm not doing it correctly. So folks want to say, are there right ways for me to pray that God will respond in a richer, more real way? People are worried, is it okay if I pray and then I'm disappointed with the outcome? People are concerned that if they pray, do they pray in a way that God actually heard them? And what if God didn't do what they asked them to do? There's all these things about prayer. So we're going to spend a couple of weeks talking about why we pray and how to pray. And I hope this is not only practical for you, but I hope that it gets the concept for you that prayer is a really important thing, not so much, it's not more important to God than it is to us. Do you see that distinction? That prayer is a really important piece of our own faith journey, our own puzzle. In an article in the New York Times Magazine, writer Dana Tierney described how both she and her husband John had rejected their childhood faith. And they had a 4-year-old child, and they went and had him baptized because their family really wanted them to. You've seen this story, right? The family says, please go get our grandchild baptized. So they took him to the church, and they had him baptized. And not too long after that, her husband John was put on an assignment in Iraq as a reporter. And he goes on this assignment. She's really anxious because things are not really safe in this part of the world at the time when he goes. And every time they watch an interview of a soldier on television, she gets very anxious. She starts to have heart palpitations, and she's really worried for her son, too, until one time they're watching this moment on TV, and she's assuming that everybody, her and her son, are very anxious, and she looks down, and she sees her son fold his hands. Now, they hadn't been to church except for his baptism, but she sees her son fold his hands, and she goes, what are you doing? Are you praying? And he goes, no, Mom, I'm not praying. I'm not doing that. And she said, as she dove a little deeper, her son said, actually, Mom, I was praying because praying and talking to God makes me really calm. And she had these moments that she was feeling both in her own challenge with the fact that her son knew how to pray and she didn't pray and she was feeling anxious and he wasn't feeling anxious. But she also felt really burdened by the fact that her son felt embarrassed to tell his mom that he was praying. He was worried to tell her that he was talking to God and he was getting to have this experience with God. And she said, how did you do this? And he said, I don't know. I've just always known God exists. I've always offered that prayer to him. So she writes this article, and she's writing about religion and faith. And I want to read, she said, sometimes people write things disparagingly about people of faith. And she goes, not me. See, her concern is that she's missing out. As she explained, my religious friends have an expansiveness of spirit. When they walk along the stream, they don't just see water flowing over rocks. The sight fills them with ecstasy. They see a realm of hope beyond this world. I just see a babbling brook. I don't get the message. I was hanging out probably about a little over a month ago now, with Mary Helen Nickelberry, who is 104 years old and part of our church, and she's home most of the time now. And she used the phrase, and she said it 3 or 4 times while we were together. She said, "And a child shall lead them." Right? That's about everything. Right? Scripture tells us, the Bible tells us that children will lead us. Children will help us understand. And if we can look at this little boy's story where he said, "I don't know. I just always knew God exists." I hold on to that. That helps us as we think about prayer. Because sometimes I think we pray and we don't think anybody's on the other end of the phone. We don't think anybody's on the other line. And we offer up this prayer and we say, is it just words? Am I just saying it? Well, I want to dive a little deeper in this morning. And I want to go to the gospel according to Luke chapter 11 and look at verses 9 through 13. It says, "And I tell you," this is Jesus speaking, "ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door is opened. Which father among you would give a snake to your child if the child asked for a fish? If a child asked for an egg, what father would give the child a scorpion? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who seek him?" I remember this passage from my childhood, actually. It was a passage we sang songs about, right? And I remember the words to these songs, and I thought all you had to do was knock. God would open the door, and whatever you asked for, it would come. Unless it was something bad, and then you knocked on the door, and God would open the door and be angry at you for asking, right? And that was the way that I had my experience with God, right? I had heard this scripture, I had heard this verse, and I said, all you have to do is knock. If I want good things to happen to me, I knock, the door will be open, and God, like a genie, will answer. And that will happen. And sometimes I think that's our struggle with prayer. We read a passage like this, and I actually think it's a problematic scripture on prayer. Because it makes it seem like whatever you ask for, you get. Whether it's good for you or not. Whatever you knock and you seek will happen. And that's why this passage is actually pretty problematic and challenging. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, he talks about the importance of prayer and about relationship with God. The problem with this passage is at first glance, if we just read it outside of the context of the greater gospel according to Luke, we just think it's ask for what you want. God's good, God will give it to you. Whatever it is. How many people do you think every time you pray, you get exactly what you ask for? Right? I want all these red lights to turn green so I'm not late going to work. Right? God, just help me find my keys. I know I'm the person that put them somewhere. I don't know where they are, but God, you find them, throw them up in the air, and I'll just grab them. Right? Sometimes we offer up these things and we go, why in the world doesn't God respond? Why won't God fix it? See, the problem with this passage, if we read it in this way only, is that it's not our real experience. And often when we experience things that are not our real experience based on the way we read them in Scripture, we then start to negate it all. We throw it out. If that's not what I experienced, then there's no way it can be true. And then what some people say is, well, if I haven't experienced that, then there's no way that God can be true. And we take this thing and we go to the extremes because we take a text out of the Bible and we say, that's the answer. See, many of us have prayed for people that we love. We've prayed for ourselves and we've not received the outcome we prayed for. Because we prayed for somebody to be healed and they weren't healed. During COVID, I prayed for so many people that weren't healed when it first happened. I prayed for our first responders. I prayed for people that were dealing with all that and so many terrible things happened. How in the world can this passage be true if that's the case? I prayed for my grandmother when she was dying and my grandmother still died. How in the world can that happen? In spite of big prayers that we have, there is still war going on in Israel and Palestine. How in the world is prayer effective? What do we do with prayer? Let's look back at what Jesus says in verses 11 through 13. It says, "Which father among you would give a snake to your child if the child asked for a fish? If a child asked for an egg, what father would give the child a scorpion?" I think that's so odd, by the way. But anyway, what father would give a child a scorpion? "If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So the part of this passage says God is good. God is like a good parent, a good loving parent. That God wants the best for you. And I believe that is true. I fully believe that what God ultimately wants for us is relationship And God wants goodness for us. Good parents not going to give you a snake if you ask for a fish or a scorpion if you ask for eggs. So why in the world would we pray if God doesn't seem to give us what we want? Why in the world would we pray if God doesn't give us what we want? Well, I think there's lots of possible explanations, and I'm going to give you some wrong ones this morning, okay? I'm going to give you explanations that I think that you might hear at some churches, that you might walk into, that will really, really frustrate you. There are churches that say, for example, that God doesn't actually do what Jesus says. That is problematic. Right? That God doesn't actually answer your prayers, or sometimes God's answer is just a no. Well, that's an answer, but it's a hard answer to grasp when we're praying for deep relationship with God, when that's what we long. Now, listen, I think sometimes God's answer is no, because what we're asking for is not actually good for us. Right? I think sometimes God's answer is no, but to suggest that God just doesn't answer, that God is mute or God is away, that doesn't make sense. Maybe what we're asking for is not actually good for us. Maybe what we're asking for doesn't push us forward. But the problem with that is there are many things that we ask for that are good, that a good God who loves you aligns with the will of God. When we pray for the war to stop in Israel and Palestine, that clearly aligns with the will of God. Amen? That's a good thing. That's an important thing. When we ask for healing, that clearly is a good thing. So that answer of God doesn't actually do what Jesus says, that doesn't work for me. Here's the second one. And I've talked about it here before. Everything happens for a reason. Oh, I hate that. I hate it so much. It's a cop-out. Everything happens. Like, God, I hate when people say God just needed another angel. Right? Really? My angel? God needed my grandmother? God needed that child? Come on. God's more powerful than that. If my grandma died because everything happens for a reason, then I really struggle loving a God that would take my grandmother. I struggle loving a God that would give my friend cancer for a reason. What does that say for the things like violence against women, hunger, death of babies? Would we even consider calling those things God's will? I wouldn't. Not a loving God. It just doesn't make sense. So then why do we pray? Is there any other explanation if we don't get what we want? Well, there's another piece of the reality of things that happen in our world, and that's that sometimes we cause pain to one another. Sometimes we cause challenges to one another. Sometimes we do things to our environment that causes pain in our environment. Sometimes we do things to our food that causes pain to our body. Sometimes we hurt other people. Sometimes we do these things, and we can't suggest that that's not a part of the puzzle, because if we do, then we suggest that God is a puppeteer and God is not a God that allows us to have free will in the world. So again, why would we even pray? What's the point? Why does Luke write about it 7 or 8 times as if Jesus was begging us to do it? Why does he hold it up as if it's such an important thing? Here's the first thing. Because God wants to be in relationship with us. God longs to spend time with us. God longs to spend time with you. God longs to spend time with me. Prayer can look like lots of different things, but ultimately it's about relationship, about time between you and God. It's a way to be in that relationship. It's a way to have conversation. It's our time to pause, to stop letting all the other things of the world, like the news and social media and things like that, draw us into places of deeper despair, deeper anxiety, deeper concern, and like that little boy, to take a pause and pray. It's a time to connect with God. It's our time to knock on the door and for God to respond, even if it's just to sit and listen, but to be in relationship with us. There's no other relationship in the world that you would say you have a relationship if you never talk to the person, is there? If there was no communication. I'll give you an example. I've shared this before. I really like Jimmy Fallon. Anybody else like Jimmy Fallon? I think he's super funny. I like Jimmy Fallon a lot. Okay, I follow a few Jimmy Fallon groups on Facebook and Instagram. I watch his show irregularly. But I have a lot of his different bits. I know him. In many ways, Jimmy and I are friends. He doesn't know it, but we're good friends. We've never actually communicated, but we're really good friends. Sometimes I like to pretend that I'm friends with him. And sometimes I think that we treat our relationship with God just like I treat my relationship with Jimmy Fallon. I kind of like him. God's kind of cool. God's kind of funny, right? I think God gives what we want. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm just a fan. right? There's no communication. There's no relationship. I may watch some God videos every once in a while. I may pick up on some God bits. But do I sit and have dialogue and conversation? Because ultimately, that's what God wants with us. That's what God wants with all of humanity, to be in relationship with us. So that's the first thing. God wants to be in relationship. That's why we pray. Here's the second thing. Prayer changes us. What do I mean by that? Prayer changes our perspective. When I pray for someone else, I'm thinking less about myself and more about them in that moment. When I pray for someone I'm frustrated with, it's less easy for me to be frustrated with them. When I pray for transformation, I'm more thoughtful. I think we're more thoughtful when we're genuinely praying for something. Look, we're not more thoughtful when we're praying for that stoplight to turn green. Like, let's be honest. Like, it's good, it's great, we get to where we're going on time. But we're more thoughtful when we genuinely pray for things that matter. And my experience with people in the church is that this is true. When you pray, you think about the world. You think about things that are greater than you. You pray for your health, you actually do something about it. As my dad says, you put legs on your prayers when you pray. Right? When you pray for kids who are hungry in our community, you package 15,000 meals. Prayer leads to transformation and change. You pray for those who are cold, you go out and buy coats and you buy boots. You pray for those that don't have Christmas gifts, you bring gifts in. See, prayer changes you to focus on the things that are bigger than you and that matter to God. And you may say, but what if I don't get what I want? That's not what prayer's about. Prayer changes us. It makes us think more about the world around us, about people around us. Ultimately, I believe prayer actually gives us a chance to pause. How often in life do you just need a moment? I mean, it goes so fast. Things move so rapidly around you. Yesterday, our oldest child celebrated his 17th birthday. Now, I know that's hard to believe because I'm just 30, but my wife's 25. But it goes so rapidly. The world moves so quickly around us. And if we take the time to pause, to sit, to breathe, to pray, it changes us. It gives us a moment to simply be. We pray because we believe that God is a loving God, that like a loving parent would never give us a scorpion instead of what we need. We pray because we believe that God can do great things that are outside of our understanding. We pray because Jesus tells us to, because he modeled it. Part of the reason we go into this season that the church calls Lent and we focus on this season of 40 days is because Jesus did it. And it was transformative in his own life, in the way that he stopped to pause, to go away and to be away. There's got to be something deeply in that for humanity. Today, I want to invite you to do a couple of really practical things. Somebody in this church, actually a few people have shared with me that a friend of mine who was a pastor here at some point in time, Jim Chandler, some of you guys may have known Jim. Jim once in a sermon said, "What if you woke up tomorrow and you only had the things you prayed for today? What would that be like? Why pray to be grateful for the things that we have? Why pray to experience what we get to experience? Why pray because a loving God meets us in the midst of our prayer and wants to spend time with us?" Friends, I want to encourage you this week to, as much as you can, pray in the midst of gratitude for those around you, for the love that you experience. For some of us, that's going to be a greater stretch than others. But I want to encourage that in you. Because what if you woke up tomorrow and you only had the things that you prayed for today? What might that be like? And then today, I want to actually give us space. Space to pause for just a few moments. Space to be. Space to actually pray. So you're going to take just a couple of minutes. Susan's going to play a little bit. And I want you to just be still. You know, I've been praying all morning for the Holy Spirit to show up today. May it be so. May you experience the power that a loving God has for you today and wherever you are in your journey. So just take a few minutes and be still. Whatever that looks like for you, and allow God to meet you right in the midst of your story.